her family up in Wales, and came in this morning feeling pretty underprepared in some regards. I mean, I'd prepared the service, but, you know, when you come in 10 minutes before it's about to begin and you've got to get everything set up, it feels a bit kind of like pressurised and a bit kind of a bit of a mess and a muddle. So both of these tablets here, both of which I need for the talk, have got just about enough charge, I'm hoping, to get us through the end. If they die, so be it. We'll just continue and we'll assume that whatever else I was going to say was completely unimportant. So here we go. We are into our Advent series. And I didn't plan this. I didn't plan this at all. But surprisingly enough, or not, depending on how strong your faith is, it follows on completely from last week, where we ended our Kingdom of God series. A whole load of the same themes are being picked up this morning in the first of our Advent series. I didn't plan it, that's just the way it's happened. Maybe it's because it's what's on my heart, maybe it's because it's what's on God's heart. But listen in, I think, is the message this morning. The reason those two songs that Ruth led us through just before the talk are so important is because they're saying, Lord, you are the most important thing. Jesus, you are the one. This is about you, it's not about anything else. And that's the message I want us to take out from today's sermon. So the text I've picked to do this in Advent is Romans 13, 11 to 14. Now we're not going to look at it straight away, but I thought it might be helpful to tell you up front so that you can fiddle with your phones or your tablets or your Bibles or whatever it is you've got and get it open, and then if you lose me at any point during the first part of the sermon, you can just read it and maybe you'll pick something up from that. So that'd be good. But what we're actually talking about today is a whole load of different things, and I want to hang this Advent series a little bit on a little story, okay? And that story is going to be presented to us in videos. So we're going to watch the first episode of this story in a bit. And the reason I wanted to do that is because Advent is... Oh, hello. Will that click on? Okay, so on these slides, there are bits that kind of fly in to add up to the slide. For some reason, I don't think I can do it from this tablet, so I'll just have to kind of read out to you what it says. Advent means arrival, okay? That's where the word comes from. During Advent, this season, we are waiting for the arrival of something. Now, Advent doesn't appear in the Bible. It doesn't come up as a biblical theme. It's just something that begins to creep into the early church, real early on in kind of like the 300s, if you like. The word Adventus, the Latin word that means arrival, starts to crop up in some of the churches teaching and writing. And at first, the lucky old clergy were the only ones that had to celebrate it, and they had to fast for 4 weeks before Christmas. Oh, isn't that good? I think we should bring that back, shouldn't we? Get the clergy fasting for 4 weeks. No, but then later on, a couple of hundred years later, the whole church started celebrating it, and I'm sure the fasting bit kind of got pushed a little bit to the side. Bit of a tricky thing to do, isn't it? But Advent means waiting. It means we're waiting for the arrival of something. So we are going to look at waiting through this series. And there are different kinds of waiting. You've got the kind of waiting like this. Hurry up and wait. You know, you're in a queue. You want something to happen quickly, and the person in front of you is going so slowly. I don't know what's wrong with me, but every time, in fact, if you're ever in a supermarket, do not get in the same line that I get in. Because I guarantee you, the line that I get in is the one that's going to go the slowest. And it is always the one where the person in front of me gets out from her purse, or his purse, we're not going to be sexist here, gets out a whole row of like shabby tokens and then starts putting them down like, well, this one is 5p off a can of beans, this one is 10p off some washing powder, and they just go, please, I just want to get out of the shop. So never ever follow me into a line when I'm in a supermarket. This is the kind of, hurry up, I'm frustrated, I'm waiting here, I want to get on with something, okay? But then there's a different kind of waiting, which is passive waiting. And this is, who's ever done this? sat there at the window, particularly when you're a kid. I remember sitting at the window in the house I grew up in, and you kind of looking up through the window into the sky, and you just see all the snowflakes falling down, and you're just waiting for it to stop snowing, waiting for what that's going to bring, waiting to get out there and build a snowman and have snowball fights and go sledding and all that kind of stuff. But it's a nice waiting. You're waiting with some expectation, some excitement, but also you're just sitting still and waiting, like you're just watching the snow falling down. That's a great kind of waiting. That's a passive waiting. And that's what we're doing during Advent. We're waiting for the arrival of a loved one. And it can be a real kind of passive waiting. The time of waiting for Christ. But my subject today is not the passive type of waiting. That's Andy's subject next week. Mine is the active waiting. The hurry up and wait kind of waiting. And so this is where we're gonna have a look at this first episode in this little kind of story. And each week you're gonna have to wait for the next episode. It's gonna be a wait, and you're gonna have to keep coming to see the whole story. So here we go, let's see if I can make this work. It's about 5 minutes long. And the story is that this guy Will and his girlfriend Claire are going to meet Claire's, or Will's going to meet Claire's parents for the first time at their house at Christmas. Okay, that's the background to this. So here we go, let's see if this will work.
What should I call him, the modern lady?
Well,
it's fine. It's massive. Except,
have you got a butler?
Happy Rainbow, Mum and Dad!
Hi, Merry Christmas!
Very nice to be here.
Hi, Dad!
Hi, I'm Willie.
Well, I'm just going to finish making it sound.
That's all right, I can. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Would you like?
Have fun.
What did you bring? And where are you from?
I'm from Finchley. Wait, what? Is this? Are you? Is he? Is she?
Finchley. I've never heard of this place. Did you come far to see him?
It's on the northern line. Him.
You have brought him a gift.
Sorry it was a bit dark. I hope you kind of picked up what was going on there. So Will's desperate to build a relationship with his new parents-in-law, and he's trying a little bit too hard, and they leave him at home, and he goes down to the end of the garden and goes into the pool house, and all of a sudden has an encounter with Jesus. Did you pick up that was what was going on? And he's come, he's empty-handed. So over the coming weeks, we're going to see a little bit more of this kind of story develop and the characters in it, Claire, the girlfriend, and the parents, and how an encounter with Jesus changes the way they're thinking about things. But for Will, it put me in mind of someone who's desperate for something to happen and trying a little bit too hard. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of what it felt like with Will's story. And so it put me in mind of thinking about what are the things that I really am waiting for? What are the things that really kind of I hold up high on my register of things that I want to happen? What are the things that I'm always thinking, oh, if I can just get to this point, that's when it will be okay. So my first thing that I thought is, and these will be different for you, I'm not expecting everyone to have the same things, but the first thing that kind of churns away in the back of my mind a lot of the time is that I want to be financially secure. I want to be free from debts and not have to worry about bills that need to be paid. As we said last week, I hope I'm not totally alone in that, but it's the sort of thing that churns away in the back of my mind sometimes. And the second thing, which unhelpfully is probably not going to come up on this slide, because it was one of those things that kind of comes in, is that I really want to see this church grow in the knowledge and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and to see God's kingdom released in this place. And that churns away in the back of my mind all the time as well. I'm always thinking, how can we make this happen? What more do we need to do? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to kind of push? Who do I need to go and see? What do I need to be speaking about? How do I need to change things? What's going to really bring God's kingdom into this place? How are people going to come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what I want to know. So there are things I stress about and that I put my energies into and that I beat myself up about when they don't go right. You know, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but I strive to make these things happen. I'm not sitting quietly and waiting for them to happen. I'm striving, I'm working, active all the time. Come on, I'm frustrated that they're not coming quick enough. You know what I'm saying? It's that active waiting, not a passive waiting. I'm not sitting and waiting. But last week I ended my sermon with Matthew 6. And I'm going to read it to you again, because it really speaks into at least the first of the things that I stress about. So Matthew 6, starting verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Since do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So maybe when I read this passage, I'm able to stop worrying and striving about the first point, about the how can I make enough money to kind of be comfortable, or at least not even comfortable, but just to not have to worry about that kind of thing. Jesus is saying, stop worrying about that. Stop worrying about it. That's the kind of thing that the world worries about. Stop worrying about that and focus first on my kingdom. So does that mean that I'm right in the second point, that when I'm striving for the kingdom of God, is that what Jesus is asking me to do? Is he saying, you stop striving about your bills and your mortgage and all of that kind of stuff, and strive for my kingdom? Well, kind of yes and no, I suppose. But when I was preparing this message, I rather felt that isn't what he's saying. Maybe there are times when we need to really work hard, and we need to really push for stuff. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that at all. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't push and work hard for things. But there are times when we're just called to sit and wait and be passive in our waiting and wait for God and accept that he is the one who is in charge. We're called to abide rather than strive on it. And you know, I hope most of you know the famous story of Mary and Martha, where Martha's working hard and she's doing the right thing. She's providing for people, she's preparing food, she's hosting really well. But in that is coming a stress and an activity that Jesus actually says, no, Martha, you're not doing the right thing here. Mary, who's sitting and listening, just sitting and waiting and hearing what I've got to say, she's doing the right thing. We're not saying that it's wrong to provide for people, we're not saying it's wrong to be hospitable, but sometimes we're just called to sit and wait because the most important thing is Jesus. And if we get that out of kilter, then we're in trouble. So sometimes we're just called to abide instead of strive, to wait passively instead of actively. So let's turn to the passage that I felt that we needed to look at this morning, Romans 13, 11 to 14. And I've put it up here in the New International Reader's Version, which is a kind of slightly changed up New International Version, just to make it flow a bit more easily. And I just felt some of the phrases that this version used were really helpful. So it says this: when you do these things, keep in mind the times we are living in. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. The full effects of our salvation are closer now than when we first believed in Christ. The dark night of evil is nearly over. The day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us get rid of the works of darkness that harm us, and let us do the works of light that protect us. Let us act as we should, like people living in the daytime. Have nothing to do with wild parties and don't get drunk. Don't take part in sexual sins or evil conduct. Don't fight with each other or be jealous of anyone. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were your clothing. Don't think about how to satisfy sinful desires. So again, I'm sorry this slide's not going to work as it should, but I had the bits highlighted that I wanted to speak about. So I just took them out. The first one I wanted us to look at is that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We're thinking about waiting, we're thinking about Jesus being the most important thing. What are we waiting for? We're no longer waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, are we? That happened 2,000 years ago. That's what the shepherds and the people of Israel were waiting for. But what are we waiting for? We're waiting for his coming again, aren't we? The fulfillment of everything that he did the first time, of what the cross meant, and how our salvation works out. And I love that phrase, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The event, the arrival, the thing we have been waiting for is nearer now than it was when we first came to know him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Doesn't that excite you? That the thing we're waiting for, that thing, that the arrival of our loved one is closer now than it was when we first believed in him. Isn't that a good thing? It excites me anyway. I love that. I think it sets the tone. I think it's beautiful. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The next bit builds on that expectation. It's like, I don't know if you remember, maybe some of you still do this, but you used to lie awake at night. I used to lie awake when I was a teenager. And you kind of think, God, I've got to get to sleep. It's going to be dawn soon. And then you start to hear the birds singing and the milkman coming and all that kind of stuff. And you think, oh, now I've got to get up in a minute. And then you fall fast asleep. But it's that sense of the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, the excitement, the expectation are building. So what should we do? What should we do as we wait for this thing to come? It tells us, put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. So let us get rid of the works of darkness that harm us, and let us put on the works of light that protect us. Put on the armour, what does that remind you of? Anybody? Ephesians 6, of course it does. As soon as you think of armour, you tend to think of this passage, don't you? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Now, doesn't that, again, speaking to what we're talking about, that if you've done everything, it doesn't say, when you've done everything, you've got your armour on, charge straight into the enemy and start swinging your sword around, start kicking people and punching people and pushing them over with your shield and get the troops coming in from this side and do this and do that. It says when you've done everything, if you can do nothing more, just stand there, just do that, and just wait for him, because he's the Lord of the army. I think it's great. I think it speaks into exactly that same kind of thing that we've been talking about. Oh, look, that one's come up with some stuff on it. Okay. So, put on the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were your clothing. That's what this passage is telling us to do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ as if he were your clothing. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to be the greatest church leader in the world. I'm not supposed to be the greatest businessman in the world. But I'm supposed to be a person who is clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the things that he did, as I wait for the night to be over. Do you understand that thing? That it's not that he's saying don't do anything, but he's saying get your priorities straight, put me on, and do the things that I do, and stop worrying about all the other things that you think are important. Get it right, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do the things that he did. And that's exactly what you were saying earlier, is that it's just those little things, it's acting out those kingdom things, that is what he calls us to. So that's the thing I want us to take away from this morning, is that although there are lots of things that pressurise us, lots of things we think are super important, he says, just put me on, just stand, just wait with me. I am the most important thing. And if you get that right in our lives, if we get him in his place, in his first place, then that's where we're supposed to be. And we needn't worry about whether we're the best this or the best that, or whether everything is in place or not, if we've got him as our clothing at the centre of us. Okay. There we go. I think we should turn to prayer. We've got communion, so I don't want to go on too much further. Shall we just pray? Shall we just ask God to be that to us, our clothing? Lord Jesus Christ, so often I worry about things that I don't need to worry about, when really I should just come to you and say, you are my God, you are the most important thing, you are my Lord, you are the one who saved all of us, you are the one who calls us to yourself, who says, I can undo all the bad things that have been, and I can restore and refresh and heal, and I want you to do the same as an image of me. And I just need to remember that, to come to you and rest in you, to passively wait for you in my life. I pray that you'll help me to do that. I pray that you'll help all of us to do that as we read your word, as we go about our lives, prompt us by your Spirit to be thinking, what is it that I need to do here in terms of living Jesus to other people, in terms of putting on Jesus Christ as my clothing? What is it I need to do? Not, have I got a bus to catch? Have I got a report to write? Have I got to do this, that, or the other? But what have I got to do to live out being Jesus in this situation? The one who loved me, the one who saved me, the one who has called me, the one who is in charge, the one who is everything. What have I got to do to just live out what he is to me? Help us to remember that and to do that this Advent as we wait with expectancy and hope for you, Lord. Thank you that our salvation is nearer today than it was yesterday, than it was the day when we first met you. Thank you that there's progress, that we're moving forward. Thank you that you're coming again. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.
Jill, Catherine, sorry, could you just go and just ask the kids if they want to come in? Communion. Have you just done that, Jill?